Speak to us this morning and help every heart know the truth of your gospel of love and eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy. We sang as we came into today's service, and we will sing it again at the Sanctus in the Holy Eucharist. Holy, holy, holy. We heard it in the Old Testament lesson. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In the Hebrew scriptures, which Jesus read, it sounds like this. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Shh. It gives us a feeling of awe, quietness, and wonder, even a sort of magic. And what is described in that lesson from Isaiah sounds like magic with the seraphim and the wings. And it was beyond words what he experienced that day in the temple. It's a different feeling from our ordinary everyday life, like having breakfast, riding to school, work, watching TV, gossip. And in many religions, including Christianity, including institutional Christianity, there is a separation between what is holy and what is ordinary. And this was true in Jesus' day too. There are places like churches and synagogues, mosques and temples, and ordinary places like that are holy, and according to them, and ordinary places like office buildings, stores, highways, and schools, which are ordinary. Sometimes there are foods that are considered holy, like kosher, or vegetarian, or clean foods, or foods that are not clean. There may be language that is holy and everyday. There may be people who are considered holy, the Jews versus the Gentiles, or women who wear a scarf or don't wear a scarf, or Christian religious orders where people wear outfits, uniforms every day. And there are sometimes days or months that are considered holy, like the Sabbath or Ramadan or Good Friday, an ordinary time. And that's because the human brain thinks in this dichotomous way. It's always us and them, and good and bad, secular and ordinary, or holy. But that's a limited way in which our minds perceive reality. Jesus said something quite different. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within you." Jesus occasionally broke the laws of separation of holy and unholy, not just to break them, not to do away with the law, but because he could see the greater reality. His mind wasn't stuck in this dichotomous, polarized way. Jesus made friends with religiously unclean people, like Samaritans and tax collectors and women. He broke the Sabbath laws when he saw good reason, like healing a human being. And remember the story how the children wanted to talk to Jesus, and the disciples told them they could not, because they probably thought the children were not holy enough. But Jesus said, "Yes, they are. Let the children come to me. I'm here to teach you about the nearness of God," and they can understand that, perhaps better than those who think they already know about God. Children have the sense of wonder, the sense of holy in all kinds of things. Jesus taught that holiness of God is mixed up in our lives, not separate. God made all creation, every person, animal, bird, insect, even snakes, mosquitoes, and ticks. You can't name anything that is that God is not involved in. Holy St. Augustine wrote, "Our whole business in this life is to restore to health the eye of the heart whereby we see God." That sentence has been going over my mind for some time. It takes a lot to understand it. It's very dense. The whole business in this life is to restore to health. Restore to health that which we were born with, that sense of wonder, but which we cover up, we paralyze, which becomes dull, which we become distracted from. to restore to health the eye of the heart. And this is an interesting metaphor. It's not necessarily the head, but the heart, whereby God may be seen. We all have that eye of the heart, and we are all often seeking to use it and to activate it, but we need to do more. So what this sermon tries to facilitate this morning is that. And I have three short suggestions, practices, because the spiritual life, the restoring to health, just like the restoring of your body to health, requires practice, requires good habits. For some of us, it's especially hard to recognize God in our times of suffering and conflict. We certainly can't say, holy cancer, but we can look for holiness in our experiences of cancer. Many people suffering from the very lousiness of cancer, it's very real, and the cancer treatments, have told me that the days of their lives and their loved ones have taken new importance for them, a new poignancy, which the diagnosis of cancer focuses, and which we very often just get distracted from. The ordinary is revealed in those times as wondrous and holy. In the dark days of our lives, when nothing seems good, bright, or holy, when the good and the holy seems to be threatened, then if we believe and we look, we will still look for it and find it sometimes in very unexpected people and places. So the first practice I would suggest is to, in the hard times, to trust God. That's not easy. It's not easy every day, but it's very hard in the hard times. But to seek help, to seek support, to look for it, to find it. And it will often come in unexpected places. When I went to celebrate communion at Ground Zero a few times after following the 9/11 disaster, I expected and I saw vast, terrible destruction and sorrow, grief, anger, and fear. And I have to say, evil. I also saw holiness. I saw a church dedicated over to helping. I saw ordinary, holy people giving their precious time and coming great distances to lend, heal, and encourage those who are suffering. There was a powerful PBS video called Faith and Doubt at Ground Zero, which would be worth watching together sometime. And they brought in all of the faiths, and a Buddhist woman said, "We know that all the evil around Ground Zero was carefully planned over months and years, but where did the goodness come from? It bubbled up. The spirit was there, but we had to look for it. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we lack nothing, for God is with us." So that is one practice, trusting God. Another is just everyday habits, like hanging out with people in whose presence we see God, or in whose presence we feel trust and comfort and don't feel threatened. Being outdoors is certainly a great habit. I trust a lot of you noticed those beautiful apple trees in front of the parish hall this morning. Oh my God. Holy, holy, holy. And then in our reading, or the music we listen to, or the movies we watch, to look for wholesome things. If we're watching something that is not wholesome, we can turn it off. That's a good practice. Turn off what is not wholesome. And if we find we're spending too much time in front of the TV or on the internet, walk away. Walk out to see what God has in store. So, the third thing, it goes back to the child and wonder, is the child is born with a great sense of wonder, but also a big ego. And so growing up involves gradually, and especially as we get old, letting the ego go, but restoring, but not losing the wonder of childhood, hopefully. It's a tricky thing, but it's a beautiful thing designed by God. So this summer, you can remind yourself every day, every hour, if you see or hear an owl, say, holy, holy, holy. Maybe that's what the owl is saying. If you see or hear a new baby of any species, I saw some calves this morning on the way to church butting their heads. Holy, holy, holy. Or if you know someone who is suffering, and who among us doesn't know someone who is suffering, say, holy, 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 and touch that person with your faith and love. Probably not with pious words, but just trust the Spirit to tell you how to be there with God's presence and to look for God even in those tough times. Sometimes it's just going there with them and being with them quietly. To try to restore to health the eye of the heart whereby we see God. So when we see each other, when we see Carol, Susan, Nancy, Pam, we can say, holy, holy, holy. Holy music festival. Then there's holy marriage. Even when it doesn't feel like it, marriage is holy. It's a beautiful thing. There's Holy Eucharist, which we will share shortly. There's Holy Healing Team, where Lynn will come and lay hands on you and pray for the Holy Spirit. And what she will pray, basically, is to restore to health the eye of the heart, whereby God may be seen, and you will lack nothing. Remember, every sip of water that passes your lips is holy water. Every time you fall asleep is holy rest. And when you awaken in the morning, you open your eyes to holy light. You get the idea. The experience of holiness is its own reward. An additional useful thing about recognizing holiness in everything is we probably won't obsess about our own real and imagined hurts when we are focused with holiness. If somebody, a boss, a spouse, a parent, a child, or a friend, says something insensitive to us, and if we nonetheless look for holiness, we will then be holy and we won't need to take offense. Pastor Rick Warren says, you know you are surrendered to God when you don't need to react to criticism or rush to defend yourself, like Jesus. We can be generous to the insensitive person, especially if it's a loved one, and thereby be generous to ourselves. God's holiness is like a protection around us. God is my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. Our whole business in this life is to restore to health the eye of the heart, whereby God may be seen. And life is short, and we don't have too much time to do that. So be quick to practice looking for the holiness in all things. Amen.